Welcome to the debate. Imagine handing a 16-year-old the keys to a self-driving car, turning on autopilot, and, you know, expecting them to somehow learn how to parallel park.
Yeah, that sounds like a disaster.
Right? But that is exactly the risk we run right now with AI in education. Today, we are looking at a fundamental divide in instructional design. Specifically, should we lead with the learner's immediate need, or should we lead with the raw capability of the tool?
I mean, it is the defining question for anyone building a curriculum right now. Do we ask, what does the learner need? Or do we ask, what can AI actually do? I definitely argue for the latter, the tool-first approach, because exploring those raw capabilities is, well, it's exactly what pushes students past basic competency and into advanced expertise.
We look at how learning actually happens. It is an arc. You get started, you struggle a bit, you build understanding, and then you apply it. AI should be mapped directly to those specific bottlenecks to provide thinking support.
Okay, but thinking support in what way?
Well, like if a student is stuck diagnosing a problem, the AI steps in to help them formulate better questions. It should absolutely never remove the productive struggle. If we just dump, you know, raw generative capabilities onto a student without a needs-based framework, we completely bypass the cognitive difficulty that actually wires the brain for learning.
I hear that, but doesn't that assume the learning arc is just this fixed, predictable path? When you ask what can AI do, you aren't bypassing learning. You are actively disrupting familiar tasks.
Disrupting them how, though?
Well, this is how we move students from routine expertise to adaptive expertise. Routine expertise is just following the standard predictable steps to, say, write a paper. But adaptive expertise is where they have to dynamically adjust their thinking when the rules suddenly change.
Ah, because the tool changes the rules.
Exactly. When an AI automates a baseline task, it shatters the predictable boundaries of an assignment. It forces a much higher order of judgment.
I mean, I agree we want higher order judgment, but let's think about the coaching gap for a second. You know, that space between formal teaching moments where a student is just practicing on their own.
Right.
A tool-first approach acts like a GPS. It just drives you to the destination and completely obscures the actual mechanics of navigating. But learner-first AI acts as a driving instructor. Human teachers have to meticulously design exactly where that AI sits, so it functions as a deliberate practice partner, not just a shortcut that does the work for you.
But the GPS analogy assumes the destination stays exactly the same. What happens when the tool's raw capability creates its own necessary friction?
I am not sure what you mean by necessary friction.
Think about the community housing policy example from our source material. Students had to investigate housing affordability and then present that to a public audience. So they started using these novel tools, Notebook LM to ingest and synthesize dozens of sources, and generative AI to brainstorm their structure.
Wait, but getting overloaded by a new tool isn't guaranteed to cause learning. Usually handing students a fire hose of AI-generated content just causes panic. Or, you know, it results in a bloated, lazy final product. Why did it work there?
Because it completely eliminated their traditional bottleneck. Usually, students spend all their time just trying to write the actual 50 pages of content. Here, the AI generated massive data drops in seconds.
So the friction shifted?
Yes, exactly. The friction instantly moved from production to curation. Suddenly, their slides were packed with this really dense academic language that completely missed the mark for a public audience.
Oh, wow, I see.
Yeah, that tool-driven overload forced them to realize they couldn't just produce anymore. They had to edit and synthesize. The tool's disruptive capacity created the exact friction required to develop that adaptive expertise we were talking about.
Okay, that is fascinating. But notice what you just described there. That mechanism actually proves the aim on concept perfectly.
Wait, how does that prove your point? Well, the AI tool alone didn't magically impart editorial judgment, right? The learning only materialized when those students hit a brand new moment of need. Their slides were too crowded, their audience was confused, and they actually had to stop and ask themselves, what has changed and what do I do differently?
I guess that is true.
Right. So the AI didn't teach them that lesson. The sudden, acute moment of need did.
I won't deny that a need was met in that moment, but I mean, they would never have reached that highly specific, advanced moment of need without the tool pushing them into that overloaded state in the first place.
That is a fair point.
Yeah, the raw capability of the tool is what fundamentally reshaped the environment. It did reshape the environment, sure, but it still required a faculty member to help them navigate that new friction, which honestly brings us to a clear point of convergence here.
I think so too. Whether AI is designed strictly as a practice partner to fill a coaching gap, or just unleashed as a disruptive force that redefines an assignment, human instruction remains the absolute anchor.
Exactly. The technology is going to change again next year. I mean, the current tools will be replaced by something faster.
Oh, without a doubt. But the need for human judgment and intentional learning design is only going to scale up. Our ultimate goal is better learning, not just, you know, better AI integration.
Absolutely. So, as we look at the future of instructional design, we leave the final verdict to you. Do we let the disruptive potential of the tool dictate the boundaries of the classroom, or must the blueprint of the learner's immediate need dictate the tools we choose to deploy?